Yes, good morning, Adelaide. Good morning, family. Welcome to another magnificent edition of the Dead Set Legends on another cracking day in Adelaide. It's always like this, Piney, as I introduce Tim Pine in for Tomo this week, and we'll speak to Tomo a little bit later as to why, but Piney, welcome to you.
Thanks, always good to be here. Out with Tomo, in with Timo.
Yeah, Timo, righto, Tomo and Timo, there you go.
That's, now, I must say, every time I fill in, I jump on, something always happens, doesn't it? Something doesn't work.
No, that's right.
Is that right? Am I right?
Something Rocky? Always goes wrong, and we'll introduce former Brisbane captain, All-Australian and Port Adelaide superstar, Tom Rockliffe. Tom, good to see you, mate.
Yes, Tom, that's very nice of you there, Fergus. Yes, Piney. It's quite incredible that roll in this morning, everything ready to go. Mm. Unfortunately, we just couldn't get the systems to work. We know that I'm up here in Queensland. I was getting the Gold Coast feed, so I could not hear anything that you guys were saying. Then we couldn't get the board up and going, but we've made it. We're here. We're ready for a ripping show. Big weekend of footy in South Australia. No AFL teams left. The Crows and Port Adelaide, unfortunately, Port lost last week. So we move all our attention to the Sandford Grand Final. So really looking forward to that. I just ran my eyes down the rundown, though, Fergus. And I know that I've done it once, the right-wing rant, and we're going to go with it again today. But with Piney pushing the buttons behind the desk there, we thought we better not go there because we sort of started to say a couple of things, and Piney just jumped in, Trump 24.
What?
Trump 24.
Oh, but hang on a minute. Weren't you saying as well that you'd chuck on a red hat?
Yes, I am. I'm in your corner, Piney.
Rocky
I'm
wants to make Australia great again. It's magnificent already, you blokes. Settle down, would you?
There is a lot of us, don't worry.
There is, but it's a big show lined up. We've got Tomo on shortly, just after 9:15. We've got Darren Reeves from Glenelg Footy Club, Marty Matner as well, and, we've got someone in the gun from the rush hour, don't we, Rock?
Oh, we certainly do. Well, he's going to be calling the footy, Andrew or Darren Jarman.
Oh, hang on.
Andrew, Darren? I'm not sure.
Andrew Newton.
The family might want Darren, I reckon.
I think we'd prefer Darren, but Andrew's going to be calling. So we just thought we'd take a trip down memory lane and have a bit of a listen to some of Jars's early calls. We've heard him in the specials seat as well. But I'm looking forward to the phoner a little bit later as well, Fergus. Yes. Just before 10 o'clock, what happened in the delivery room?
So we've heard some funny stories around this stuff, and we want to hear what the family's got for us, because no doubt there's been a few fathers that might have not probably turned up or not turned up and performed well enough for their partners. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. And straight after this song, Tom Rockliffe's going to give us a little footy review of
ripping
last night, which was an unbelievable prelim. They always seem to be that way, Rock.
Yeah, they certainly were. So Collingwood, 1 point losers last year in the prelim, 1 point winners this year. I know how to play in close ones, but a really good game of footy at the MCG last night.
Huge show coming up.
All right, 0488851047 on the Triple Eb text line, all thanks to Automasters as well. Make some noise. Triple Eb's Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockliffe, Callum Ferguson and Tomo. Triple Eb's Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockliffe, Callum Ferguson and Tomo. You can also get the show on the Listener app as well.
Siren will sound!
Yeah, massive game of footy last night. It went right down to the wire in front of a packed house as well. 97,665 at the MCG last night. Majority Collingwood supporters. I think they turned up and expected to have a good win, and they certainly didn't get that at all. The Giants, they found a way. It looked early like Collingwood were just playing all over them, but couldn't put any scoreboard pressure on them. And then the Giants started to get a bit of momentum in that second quarter, which they've done for a number of weeks now. Yes. They come out in that second quarter, play some really exciting footy, and it went right down to the wire. Toby Green had the opportunity to try and kick goal, gets marked by Steele Sidebottom, who wound the clock back again. Didn't he was outstanding last night. Him and Scotty Pendlebury just continue to find a way to impress, but it was won pretty much in the midfield. Like, you can look across the board at the numbers. The clearances was the big factor for the Collingwood Footy Club. They went plus 18 on the night, so that's a massive tick for them. And Jordan Ngoi certainly led from the front in that area. You messaged me or spoke to me on the phone there, Fergus, last night and said, watch Jordan Ngoi tonight. He's in for a massive game, and he certainly was.
He stands up. He's got a hell of a record in finals, and Nathan Buckley touched on it on the broadcast last night on Fox Footy. He's just a guy that seems to know the moments, and he certainly has composure, which isn't potentially something that comes to mind straight away when you think Jordan Degoe. But Nathan Buckley's right. The game just stopped, a bit like Pendlebury, but in big games, the game just seems to slow down around Degoe, and he finds the right options, or he just bulldozes through players that just, you know, everyone else is losing their head around him and he's holding it together. It's something to watch.
Yeah, he certainly is. He's powerful and strong, and he just finds a way to force a footy to go forward, and he's nice delivery inside 50 as well. The big news out of it was, well, is Dan McStay, who was really important in that game, kicked the first goal, kicked a couple, got the Magpies going. He's gone down with a knee injury. Potentially, he was looking at playing his old mob, the Brisbane Lions, in a grand final. So that's a bit of watch this space as well. They've got Taylor Adams, who's done a hamstring. You'd imagine it's probably 2 weeks. He's probably not getting up for a grand final, are you, with a hamstring injury?
No, I don't think so. And you just can't afford to, in this day and age, go a man down early because you've taken a guy in, you know, with any sort of risk. If he's 60-40, you're no chance. Even if he's 90-10, you know, teams aren't taking players in like that anymore. And we've seen Chris Fagan up at the Brisbane Lions recently and even this week take a hardline stance on injuries, hasn't he?
Yeah, he certainly has. And it's just a big risk to take someone into a big game. We've seen the Giants do it a couple of years ago, Phil Davis, and it just did not work at all. He shouldn't have been out there in the end. And we've seen Daniels as well go off for a HIA, so a head assessment there. And
controversial, that too, Rock.
Yeah, it certainly was. It sounds almost like the AFL made the decision, listening to the press conference after the game. Do we have that there ready to go, Piney?
We do. Do you want to? Let's have a listen.
Really disappointed to lose Brent Daniels for a HIA assessment that he passed comfortably in the last 5 minutes of the game, which hurt us around the ball with a bit of leg speed, a bit of overlap run. So that's extremely disappointing.
Now, Rock, can you run us through why that's such a big loss at that stage of the game, that pivotal moment of the game for the Giants?
Yeah, well, Adam Kingsley seems very upset. So just be interesting to see if that was their club doctor that made that decision or the AFL came over the top after we've seen Wietering happen last week. So that's a bit of watch this space to see whether the AFL are making those calls now. But Daniels is so important to the way the Giants play. He's that work rate from the half forward, get up and down the ground, pressure player. He's so important to the way they play. So they really missed him in that sort of last 10 minutes of that game. Not being out there, not being able to compete, not put the pressure on, try and lock the footy in the front half and give themselves an opportunity to score, kick that winning goal or get that point to take it in overtime, because that's what he does. He gets up and down the ground but also puts the pressure on to lock that footy inside 50.
Now, at the end of the game, I think I texted you last night about it, that Jordan Degoe got stuck on the sidelines late at the most important moment of the game. It might have even been the last 8 or 9 minutes of the game. Now, can you run us through how that happens? And because most Pies fans would be absolutely livid that took place.
Yeah, he was almost sitting there giggling at the end. He was like, well, I can't get on, so it's out of my hands. But he would have come off with about 10 minutes to go, expected to sort of sit there for three and then be really fresh for the last 6 or 7 minutes. So the planning was perfect from the Collingwood Footy Club. Unfortunately, the ball lived on the far side of the ground. So it just lived on the other side of the ground. No player could get off the ground to get him back on.
Now, why wouldn't they just run from one side of the ground to the other just to get the great man on?
Yes, because it's a point, the difference. You lose your whole team structure. It's effectively you're playing 17v18. If you take someone out of that structure, it takes too long to replace. So if someone was to run off the ground and Degoe run back on, that's probably a minute that it would take to get on and off the ground. A minute of 17v18, that could potentially cost you the game, cost you a grand final spot. Yep. So you've just got to back in the 18 that are out there to get the job done. Unless the footy comes over, get Degoe back out there. But the Collingwood Footy Club through to the grand final, and we'll see who they play today here. All the action live on Triple M. The Brisbane Lions take on the Carlton Footy Club this afternoon on Triple M.
And Tomo on the air next.
Yes,
give him a call. He's been missing all week. Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockliffe, Callum Ferguson and Tomo ahead of the Sandfield Grand Final tomorrow. Both coaches on the show after 10 o'clock. The Bay's Darren Reeves and Sturt's Marty Matner.
Yeah, fantastic to have both of those guys on a big weekend for local footy. Now, before we get to the phone, Rocky, we've had some breaking news come across the desk.
Yeah, we certainly have. I'm sure our man Rusty, Greg Rust, will be all over this a little bit later in the show, so he'll have all the news for us. But Daniel Ricciardo is back. He's signed in 2024 with AlphaTauri.
Yes.
So he's back on the grid. He'll be a starting driver. So massive news, F1 news there, I'm sure. Our man Rusty will be all over it. Give us an update a bit later on.
Yeah, brilliant. How good's that? And now, Time to talk about, on the back of Tomo's and Charlie, his magnificent wife, getting the job done and bringing River into this magnificent world and into the Dead Set Legends family earlier in the week. We thought we'd go to the family on what happened in the delivery room, and was there anything a bit quirky that took place? Did someone not quite do their job? We want to hear from the family what happened with your births. Rocky, how did yours go with Shana? Did she get the job done? You would have been magnificent support, surely.
Yeah. Well, it comes off the back of Tomo saying he's a Craig McRae of newborn.
Oh, give us a spell. Seriously.
133353. Let us know what went wrong in the birthing suite of birthing room. But, oi.
Oh, Piney.
Timmy Pine. But, Shana was a superstar. She was outstanding with both, natural birth for both. She actually had both of them standing up, believe it or not.
Interesting.
So not the traditional laying down in the bed, but so all went well. I think you just got to be there and support. I think Jack was born. He was born about 3:30 in the morning, so that was a long night. And then Huey was born around midday, but it was through COVID, so I wasn't allowed to stay at the hospital, so we're in Adelaide.
Same thing with Layla, with us, yeah.
Yeah, I had to go get a hotel across the road and just leave my phone on loud if anything happened, run back over just in case.
Rough as guts, mate. Yeah,
crazy, crazy times. But no, all went well in there for me, mate. No dramas at all. What about you? You get through?
Yeah, we did. Look, Rhiannon couldn't have been better prepared. Just one of those people that loves to know what's happening and loves to make sure that everything's where it should be, and we had a good plan. She did a hypnobirthing course leading in, which is, you know, all the breathing and the relaxation and making sure the music's all going. But with all that relaxation music going on, I was fantastic. I was there in and under. Don't worry about that. But over the 13, 14 hours of labour, I started to fade late. And I may have just been busted with my eyes shut on the couch. And let's just say that didn't go down well when the contractions started kicking in.
Never goes too well, that.
Oh, no, I was in a world of hurt. But the second birth, actually, we had a home birth for Spencer. Yep. So he's 20 months old now. Layla's 3. And home birth. So we had 3 midwives at home. All the equipment arrived about 2 or 3 weeks beforehand. Ree, as always, well organised. And we had Spencer on the lounge room floor. So leaning up against the couch, Ree was. It was magnificent. And, you know, as you are, you're all worked up and firing on all cylinders and your heart rate's up. And Spencer came out. I'm holding him on the couch going, how good is this? This is amazing. And one of the midwives goes, right, well, anyone want a cuppa? It was so relaxed. It was outrageous. And from there, we're all very comfortable. So everyone's story's a little bit different, isn't it? And that's why we want to go to the fans, the family. 133353, what happened in your births with your children? Anything exciting? Anything a little bit left of centre? We've got a $100 voucher from Samtas. Now, how good are these guys, Rocky?
Samtas,
seriously.
Seafoods, yeah, incredible. That's it's great to have them on board. $100 seafood voucher. So get involved. 133353. But did you have one of your mates, something went wrong with him?
Oh, Fergus? Well, I really didn't want to go down this path with this story, but there was I won't specify whether it's a current player or a former player. Let's just say a past teammate of mine who, you know, it's all pretty exciting, isn't it? You know, you're getting up and about, you know, you're there for your partner, you're giving the back rubs, you're in and under, making sure they've got water, they've got a drink. When it got to the nitty gritty of it, when it got to the back end and baby's right on the verge of making an appearance, just got a little wobbly legged.
Oh, no. What's happened? He passed out.
Fainted right there. And his beautiful wife is going through the real nuts and bolts of it, really right on the verge. And he's killed over, and the nurses are surrounding him, and his wife's sitting on the bench going, what about me?
Oh, that's incredible.
So I'm sure there's more stories like that out there from the family. Well, 133353. Let's hit it, family. Get on board for Samtas Seafoods.
As an Australian wicketkeeper, you've got to be better than that.
We'll take your calls next. Triple H's Dead Set Legends.
Yes, smack bang in the middle of a phoner. Yes. What happened in the delivery room? Actually, not what went wrong, but what happened. Something funny. On the back of our man, Tomo, he was in there this week, and he said said he's the Craig McRae of new dads.
So we'll hear that. We'll speak to Charlie about that before we really take that on board.
We thought we'd open up the phones. 1-333-53 $100 seafood voucher, Samtas Seafoods. How good's that food?
Oh, brilliant.
Let's see what the family got for us.
Yeah, Samtas, how good are they? Now, we've got Zach from Christie Down. Zach, what happened in the delivery room, mate?
Hey, young lads.
Flying.
My wife was giving birth to our second, and we decided to bring our son along with it to experience it.
Yep.
And
how old was he?
How old?
Almost two. So he won't. Hopefully, he won't remember what happened.
You're a brave man.
It's an eye opener.
Yeah. Well, I went from birthing coach to babysitter in about 10 hours, and. Just as my daughter was starting to poke through, she was a birth that came through without the water breaking.
It's
a common thing, but you don't hear about it very much.
Gotcha. Wow.
And so she sort of exploded, for lack of a better word, out of my wife, and the water sprayed all over the doctor, all over the wall behind the doctor, and my son was in my arms, and I tried as quick as I can to turn his head away from it, but
it was a Tarantino birth,
very, very much so,
rather graphic
and very Pulp Fiction. And I mind you, we're up near my wife's head, so we're not down the business end,
yes,
and my son's look on his face of absolute horror seeing what's going on. I was pretty shocked. Everyone in the room was quite beside themselves.
I could imagine.
And yeah, my son was at a mixture of horror and fear for his mum, because he just didn't know what was going on.
I could imagine.
And needless to say, we won't take the kids in for the next one.
I wouldn't have thought, Zach. Thanks for that, Zach. Appreciate well done, Zach. It,
probably don't take the kids in the birthing suite. I wouldn't have thought. Let's head out to Alex at Westlake Shore. What happened in the delivery room, mate?
Sorry, Rocky, we've changed things up. Warren.
Oh, we've got Warren from Uraidla. Thanks, Warren.
How you guys going? Well?
Yeah, we're flying, mate. What have you got for us?
My first daughter, my daughter, when they were having the birth, my wife was using the gas for pain relief.
Oh, yeah.
But so that was all good. But to let it be known, the actual gas was actually leaking into the room. So the three of us that were in the actual room, we're all having a bit of laughing gas and actually having a really good time.
Oh, no way. That's incredible.
So it was a very funny birth.
Oh, bet it was.
That's incredible. You just giggled. I no grabbed pun a bit intended. Of gas when I was in the Fergus as well.
Did you?
Yeah.
Just to calm yourself down a bit?
Sensational. Oh, just to make the time go by a bit quicker. Let's head out to Alex at Westlake Shore. What happened in the birthing suite?
Yeah, g'day, boys. I was with my wife going into the birth loft first, and there was a little bit of a complication when we were in the waiting room, and we went in, and I went in with them. It was a bit of an emergency, so all the doctors and nurses, who are all women, were helping her out, and they've said, quick, you get down the base of her near her feet and help take her pants off, and I think I'm a bit of a funny guy, and I've sort of cracked a joke and said, well, geez, this is normally a lot more fun, isn't it? The death stares that I got from these women, I've never seen anything like it before. And then to top it all off, later when we were actually in the room and she was nearly all done, I've got a bit of a dodgy knee, and she was in a position that made her comfortable, and I was down helping out, and then I've said, oh, shit, my knee's a bit sore.
Oh, no, you didn't. No. Alex, don't do it.
Yeah, no, I was, no one was too impressed with me, and, yeah, I learned for the second one, that's for sure. I kept my mouth shut.
Dear me, no, that's brilliant, mate. Well done, and, jeez, don't complain when you're in there either. That's one thing for sure. Do not complain in the birthing street. We go out to Brian at North Haven. Brian, what took place?
Oh, how you going, guys?
Yeah, fine, mate.
Yeah, we sister-in-law asked if she could come to the birth of our daughter. And we were quite happy with that. So we've gone into labour and we've arrived at the birthing suite. Sister-in-law comes in. Just as the baby's starting to come out, the sister-in-law faints, smacks her head on the floor, of the birthing suite. But also cuts her head. So I've had to lift her off the floor and take her out into the corridor where a couple of nurses attended her out there. Well, I went back inside. Anyway, then one of the doctors stuck his head through the door and said, is it okay if she comes back in? And I said, yeah, that's all right. So they brought her back in, but laid her on the floor in a comfortable position so she could watch the birth. And then after our daughter was born, they rushed my sister-in-law off to the emergency department. So I was rushing between the emergency department and the birthing area with both. So on the birth notice, I put mother, baby, and Christine all doing fine.
Oh, goodness me. That is brilliant. Oh, dear. Thanks, Brian. Thanks for your call, mate. Rocky, what do you reckon? It's hard to go past Alex, isn't it?
Yeah, they're all brilliant.
From Westlake Shore, they're brilliant calls, yeah. But... geez, I reckon it's hard to go past Alex. I reckon he's going to need the Samtas voucher to smooth things over at home still, I reckon, even if it was years ago.
There you go. Yep, 100%. The Samtas $100 voucher, Samtas Seafoods, you've scored a $100 voucher. A mix and match, 4 kilos of premium seafood for just $60. Samtas Seafoods, 201 Richmond Road, Richmond.
Well done, Alex.
Triple Ebb's Dead Set Legends. Triple Ebb's Dead Set Legends, Todd Rockcliffe, Callum Ferguson and Tomo. Bays coach Darren Reeves on the Dead Set Legends after this.
Yes, let's talk about the Port Adelaide Footy Club, Fergus. They got bundled out last week, but their season in review. I think you look back at the season and they'd be pretty happy with how they played in certain parts. I think they played their best footy almost in the middle part of the season, which you want to be building towards finals. And we've seen, I think, the Giants and the Carlton Footy Club and the better teams really starting to prime in September. Mm. Unfortunately, for a number of reasons, Port Adelaide weren't able to do that. We know that they had a few injuries, a few banged up bodies heading towards September. But I think their best footy was good enough to be able to win those big games. But unfortunately, that they just weren't able to do it on the big stage. And that's been the knock on them for a couple of years now. And they'll, I'm sure the town will be banging the door down and want those results of Port Adelaide Footy Club. There's no doubting that. And I know within internally they want them as well. So you have to go back. They would be happy with the advancements. I mean, you look at guys like Zach Butters and Connor Rosie. They've really grabbed hold of that midfield group and made it their own now. Jason Horne-Francis coming through there as well. Travis Boak and Ollie Wines are sort of taking a back step there, and these guys have stepped up. But I imagine Ollie Wines will set himself for a massive season as well. We heard some comments after the game that he felt like it was his worst season to date in the AFL system for a number of reasons. We know he was a bit slow to get going, but I expect him to come back, fired up, and have a massive summer and go from there. What can they do at the trade table? Can they bring in some size down back? I think defensively over the last couple of years they've been quite sound, but team system-wise, unfortunately, they weren't able to do that. Their forward half of the ground operates pretty well, functions pretty well. They've got those keys down there. They've got some nice smalls around them as well. Sam Powell Pepper playing in that forward half. So there's enough good signs there, but they've got to take that next step and make it to a grand final and hopefully win it for...
Rock, it feels like both years, there were some real injury concerns that hurt them badly throughout the season. Now, last year, it was at the start of the year. They didn't get out of the preseason well. There were a lot of key players out of play early. And then this year, it felt like at the back end of the season, they were banged up. They were just struggling to get over the ground. And some of their key pillars were clearly falling like tenpins.
Yeah, they certainly were, and I think you look at it, it's not really soft tissue stuff that they went through either. It's more that those impact injuries, knees and ankles and stuff like that.
So is that luck?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's certainly an element of luck to it. I think that the management and the physical team down there doing an outstanding job. Stewie Grahams, the head of high performance down there, he's absolutely over everything. He conditions the boys really well. So I think Port Adelaide will lick their wounds, but they finished top four again. They had the opportunity to go on. They've got to fix the big games. I mean, you go down in the showdowns to the Adelaide Crows, they'll be disappointed not to have won them. So they've got to go out there and find a way to perform in those big games, lose a couple of finals. I think they played really well for the first half against the Brisbane Lions up here in that first final, but The second half, they just couldn't go with the Lions. They were far too good in that second half. And then the Giants just got hold of them last week and they couldn't find their way back. In saying that, they did have 10 scoring shots in the last quarter. Yeah. So they could have won that game of footy. They kicked 1-9 and it would be a different story. They would have travelled over to the MCG last night. Who knows what happens against Collingwood. But, they've got to find a way to win those big games, win those big moments as a footy club.
We've seen some pretty impressive sides get downed in these finals. Like I've throughout the year thought Melbourne were a really good chance to win the flag. They didn't get it right in September. And I look at Port Power and I feel like they've exceeded expectations this season. I didn't have them in the top four. I had them, you know, pushing back up into the eight, but it feels like there's a lot of doomsdayers out there to get Port Adelaide at the moment, and they're really starting to pile the heat on the club when, in my eyes, they exceeded expectations.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of that. I think the fans make all this noise and a lot of noise about Ken being there for 11 years, no grand final. That's what they want. They want grand finals, and Ken's got to be able to take him to that promised land in the next couple of years and show that he can do it. I think he's a good enough coach to be able to do it. Unfortunately, for a number of reasons, it hasn't happened. And you speak about those injuries as well before Fergie. Their ruck stocks become an issue for him now. Mm. Scotty Lysette, we heard that he's banged up. He may even walk away and retire because he's so sore, etc. from it. So they need to bring in a really classy ruckman, give Vizzantini a bit of time to improve. Sammy Hayes got a couple of opportunities, didn't grab that when it came along. Finlayson as a second ruck, he's good at in spurts, but I think through the finals he was disappointing, particularly that first week. As a second ruckman here, Oscar McInerney just went through him in the ruck. So that's something that they've got to fix because they've got really good ground level players around it. They need a really solid ruckman to be able to provide that service for them. Lysette can do it if he's fit, but unfortunately he hasn't been for the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed they can get it right for next year because it feels like to me something's building, but it's just not quite gone their way this year. We've got Darren Reeves coming up next, Piney.
We do. Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockcliffe, Callum Ferguson and Tomo. Triple M. 104.7, this is Adelaide's Triple M. Dead Set Legends, you've got Tom Rockcliffe, Callum Ferguson and Tomo. Overnight scoreboard, we'll do that next.
Yeah, it's good to have Darren Reeves on the line. The Glenelg Tigers senior coach took over in December last year. He's taken them to a grand final in his first season. Darren, thanks for joining us.
Nah, thanks for having us, lads.
Your big dance tomorrow. You've been able to get the team to play some decent footy, really good footy, and take them to the promised land. Grand final tomorrow, Sandford take on the Sturt Footy Club. Must be exciting times down there at the moment.
Certainly is, mate. There was a number of people down watching training over the last two nights, so there's a real buzz around the place, and the players are excited, mate. They're ready to go.
Reeva, Ferg, mate, good to hear your voice again. It's been a while, mate. I still remember way back in the day you dominating club cricket when I was just coming through the system. Mate, how have you found the step up into the head coaching role? You've obviously been in the system as a development coach and an assistant coach for a long time, bit of time at my mob, the Roosters as well. How have you found the step up?
Hey, Ferg, how you going, mate? Good to speak. It's definitely different, mate. I mean, I sort of had an idea. I used to spend a lot of time talking to Serge at North Adelaide and with Roy Laird at Centrals over the years. And so you get an idea of what the role looks like, but then you step into it, mate, and it's certainly a big task. And I love it. I love every part of it. I love the opportunity to work with high-quality individuals and players and thoroughly enjoyed it so far, mate.
You said it's a massive role. What's the biggest challenge for you in your first season as senior coach? What have you found the hardest thing to do?
I mean, I'm a relationships orientated coach, so that was the initial start point, just spending as much time as I possibly could with every player, every person in the football club and getting to know them. And I pride myself on that. And I think that probably during the week, mate, just having those opportunities to catch up with players and watch vision and check in, that's probably the biggest part of the job, I think.
Reeva, 15 wins, 3 losses. I mean, that's a big season and a very successful one. What have been some of the keys to you guys having such a dominance through the home and away season? And then what do you need to do on the big day? Is it stick to what you know and what you've done so well throughout the season?
Yeah, pretty much, mate. I knew coming into the role that they had an ability to be able to score. They're very talented forward of the ball. Over the last few years, though, their defence has been a bit of an issue for them. So it was a real focus on having a team-orientated defensive system. Credit to the players. They bought into that right from the start. And We had a goal to be in the top three from a defensive standpoint, knowing that that would allow us to score heavily, and we end the season as the number one defensive team. So that gave us great confidence. And I think in the second semi, mate, the confidence in the way we played in the second half and were able to play the game in our forward half gives us great confidence going into tomorrow.
And how's the build-up been? You obviously had the week off last week, so you got to sit back and watch the other two teams compete to take you on. Did you have a big hit-out last weekend? Was it Saturday or Sunday, almost a match simulation?
Yeah, we did, mate. We had the same preparation both times. Obviously, we had a bye in the first week of the finals as well. And so we had big Thursday night sessions where we did a lot of sort of game sim without the crash and bash, more the repeat effort stuff. And then we doubled that up with match simulation on the Saturday morning. Having our reserves in the same schedule allowed us to sort of have full-blown match simulations on the Saturday. So that's been really positive.
Reeva, Glenelg Footy Club, the Tigers, they get a huge following down at the Bay Oval on a weekly basis, and specifically they've got a great history in finals. What are you expecting down there at Adelaide Oval?
I'd expect there's going to be a big crowd, mate. There's been great buzz around the place over the last couple of weeks. There was a big crowd down there last night for our last training session. Lots of excitement. Yeah, I think there'll be a big crowd in Sturt too. Mate, they've obviously got a great following as well. So great day tomorrow. So we're expecting a big crowd.
And where do you see this game being won or lost? Is it come down to a midfield battle for you?
Yeah, I think so, mate. Their talent with James Battersby and Tom Lewis and Jared Dakin, those types through the midfield. We have the same with Matty Snook and Luke Partington, Brett Turner, Corey Lyon types that give us a great look at it as well. So whoever can get on top in there and get the ball going their way would go a long way to winning the game, I think.
Brilliant, Reeva. Well, thanks for joining us on the Dead Set Legends on this Saturday morning. And I hope it's a great Saturday afternoon and a great run into the final for you tomorrow. All the best.
Appreciate it, guys. Enjoy your day.
Overnight scoreboard, we'll do that next. Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Get all your sports news first. This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Rusty's Motorsport Update next.
Yeah, massive Sandford Grand Final tomorrow. Fugos here. All the action live here on Triple M from 2 o'clock in the afternoon for a build-up for the first bounce at 2:30. We had some disturbing news almost, Ferg. We know that Andrew Jarman always is in their sample call. He's normally in the special seat, but this year they've put him back in the calling seat. What have they done?
It's unnerving news, and something that I think a lot of the family will be concerned about. He's had a few issues in the commentary box in the past, but certainly Bernie Vince picked up on that, and he actually found some old tape of Jars at his absolute best in his one and only performance for Triple M call team. And we thought we'd just run through some of the very finest moments of that game. And to start us all off, it's an example of Jars, and this is a long time ago, I think 20 years ago now, that Jars hit the commentary airwaves, and he had a little issue with his vision through that game.
He goes to centre-half forward looking for Grant. No one's there. Nathan Brown tries to get the ball, but he's put pressured on there by young Burton there from the Adelaide Crows, and the ball goes out of bounds on the left forward pocket down in the lake end there. Sometimes I can't see where I'm talking sometimes, boys, because my glasses get fogged up.
You can't see where I'm talking, Jars. We don't need to see where you're talking, mate. We just need to hear your voice, and it doesn't matter too much that you can't see, because you just deliver pure gold, and this is what we have to look forward to tomorrow. And I tell you what, I'm not sure who's down on the boundary. We know that our man Tomo, we spoke to him a little bit earlier in the show. He was supposed to be down there, but he's been given the arse. He's been given the arse.
Yes,
he's
has.
Out.
Don't worry.
So the boundary rider is never safe when Andrew Jarman is calling.
Nigel Smart looks like he's done his hamstring again. Tim Jennifer.
He's not moving that bad, mate. He's probably not going as quick as he could, but I don't think he's done the hammy. Well, he certainly hasn't pulled it.
Who's come off?
Nobody's come off yet. It was Hudson came on a minute ago for Leon Cameron.
Thank you very much. You're not doing your job, Tim Jennifer.
Whack, whack, whack. A Port Adelaide legend there. He's just all over him, Fergal.
Give him a chance. He's sitting there just observing. He'll let you know when he's got some news. Jars just throwing it. Shadows down there. Nothing happening, Jars.
Now, the big concern for me, Fergus, is I'm not sure how much footy, sample footy.
Where do we start with the concerns around this?
Well, the names, because we know that he's a coach down there at Wollonga. He's ruining another football club as we speak. I don't know how they went.
The Cockle Divers.
The Cockle Divers improved a little bit, but he hasn't seen any sample footy, so I'm not sure how he's going to go with names, because you talk about superstars of the game. He couldn't even get their names right.
Keeps his feet. Here comes Winmar. He'll crash through. Skilled off Wiki Nimmer.
Who was that? Can we play that one?
Kick his feet. Here comes Winmar. He'll crash through. Skill of Wiki Ninwa.
Wiki Ninwa, Ninwa, Wiki. What was it? And seriously, that's that stiff lip. And that's 20 years ago. And we talk about how stiff it is now. It's been stiff for 20 years. I think it's generous to him to say it's only just going stiff now, Rock.
Now, that wasn't. He can't get superstars of the game. Nicky Winmar, it's not hard to get out. How's he going to go tomorrow?
Oh, and that's the real concern, isn't it? You know, how much research has he actually done? Because it sounds like on the rush hour he does very little and just likes to fly by the seat of his pants. And that's a genuine concern when you've got to call a whole game and you've got to know all the players. Now, there's another example here where he thought one of the players' names was Blonde Hair.
Mahoney gets a free kick for the umpire, gives it to... He's got blonde hair. Oh, terrible kick.
That's up there with the orange team.
I mean, you're driving out to a winery or driving home from a winery, Ferg, or from golf on a Sunday afternoon, and you hear that he's got blonde hair. That doesn't tell you anything about the game, does it?
No, it doesn't. Oh, my goodness. I don't know what we're in for, but I've been looking forward to this ever since it was announced, Rock. It's going to be a big day. That's the Sandfall Grand Final tomorrow from Adelaide Oval. Triple M on air from 2 p.m. and the game first bounce 2:30. Have a listen, tune in.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Triple M. This motorsport update with Rusty is brought to you by Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
Yes, family, and on the line, fresh from his junket at the Singapore Grand Prix, is our mate Greg Russ from Rusty's Garage Podcast. Morning, Rusty.
Ferg, Rocky, good morning. I worry sometimes when I'm on hold waiting for you guys because I sing with some of the music. I'm worried about
getting my day, so. Oh, mate, we're the same. Don't worry, we sing along in here. Now, McLaren has extended Oscar Piastri's contract ahead of this weekend's F1 race in Japan. This is great news. What things are they seeing in him that fast-tracked this new deal?
You know, like, it's only his first year with McLaren, so often there's a lot of pressure in those moments, and he is delivering in all sorts of ways. So it was a really hard-fought performance last week to get some points for the team. He didn't have all the latest upgrades on his car that his teammate Lando Norris did, and he had to start from well down the grid. But it's the kind of commentary that's coming from the team boss, Zak Brown. I mean, he's likened him at times to sort of Schumacher-esque performances. He's talked about him being a very studious athlete and a very ballsy racer. So they see great things to come from him, and they've extended it through to 2026. That's great surety for him and a great endorsement of how he's going in year one.
Now, I'm not sure you would have seen this last week, Rusty, because you would have been partying hard in Singapore, but a great drive by Brock Feeney at the Sandown 500. How talented is this young guy?
Well, I mean, a lot of the F1 teams and members love their supercars. Lots of them were asking about it in the paddock, and the time zone worked a little in their favour. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. This kid is properly talented. The former owner of the 888 team, Roland Dane, said this a few years ago now, and he keeps sending us reminders of what is to come. So he won in Adelaide with you guys there at the Adelaide 500 last year, last win for Commodore and Holden, a very special moment. And then under pressure at Sandown last weekend from some good teams and drivers, he absolutely delivered. So this kid is on a great trajectory, huge talent, and he is a star of the future for supercars, most definitely.
And despite all the worries about car reliability, they were pretty good down there at Sandown, but by the looks of it, they're going to do some independent testing in America to ensure that it's a level playing field between the Mustang and Camaro.
Okay.
Yeah, yes to both. So, I mean, you know, probably even when we were talking on the show here in recent weeks, I was a little bit worried, I guess you could say, about how the cars would go over the 500Ks. They proved us wrong there, so that's a good test going to Bathurst. Few niggling things that they're working on, but that's, you know, something positive for the organisers. And yeah, always when you have your first year of a new car, there's you know, a bit of a tug of war over who's got it right, who's got the fairest set of wheels underneath them. So the big rumour is that they're going to ship a Camaro and a Mustang to the United States in the coming months. It's quite an expensive exercise, and they'll put it into what's called a wind tunnel, so they can measure independently the flow of air over the bodywork on the car and just see how evenly matched they both are, and then hopefully put this matter to rest once and for all.
Rusty, I'm not sure there's ever been a podcaster this airborne before. Thanks again, mate, and we'll catch you next week.
See you, boys.
Good on you, Rusty. Rusty. Vroom, vroom.
That's Rusty for Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
And still to come, Sturt coach Marty Matner on the Dead Set Legends as well. Triple Ebb's Dead Set Legends for your Saturday morning. Tom Rockcliffe, Callum Ferguson and Tomo. If you've missed any of the show, just head to the listener app.
Well, we're delighted today to be able to bring to the Dead Set Legends Sturt Premiership coach, two-time, 2016-2017 Sturt Premiership player, 2002 and Sydney Premiership player, 2012, and he is taking the helm for Sturt Footy Club in tomorrow's Sandford Grand Final. Martin Matner, welcome to the Dead Set Legends.
Yeah, it's exciting time of year to be playing footy and, really excited about Sunday.
Really looking forward to this contest on Sunday afternoon. Marty, you must be proud of the boys, the way they've gone about it this season.
Yeah, it's been interesting journey this year. We've, we started the season really well, probably haven't been playing great for in the middle of the year, but I think our last, 6 weeks have been really good form leading into finals and also the last couple in the finals as well. And yeah, we've got there now, and now it's a great opportunity for the group.
How's the week look, Marty? Obviously, you had a big clash last weekend, which might have taken a little bit out of the legs for the players. What did it look like from the start of the week towards the back end?
Yeah, it was probably very similar to a normal week. Monday was just focused on recovery and review. Wednesday, main session. But, the little different things about grand final week that changed things around was we were able to train at Adelaide Oval, which was great for our group. Yep. Reserves players as well, so the whole squad, which was pretty exciting for the group. And then Friday's pretty normal, main session. But, again, we probably had, a couple hundred people, maybe 500 people at Unley Oval last night for training. And players got to mingle with supporters and members. And then today we actually head into Arundel Mall for the presentations of the grand final teams there. So, we just try to keep it as normal possible. But I guess there's some things that are different and we try to just really enjoy those things and have fun with those, different things that happen throughout the week.
Speaking of Sturt coach Marty Matner, premiership coach in 2016 and 17, and then in 2018 you finished up there, went to the Adelaide Crows and were put off through that COVID period. Do you have any ambitions to get back into the AFL system, and how was that for you being laid off through such a challenging time?
Yeah, I guess initially it was pretty disappointing and I guess not exactly how I wanted it to turn out, but I've really enjoyed, getting back to Sturt, being able to, coach the team and sort of a different journey. I guess when I first got back, we sort of decided that we needed to play a lot of our young kids and get some experience into those. So it's been a different challenge over the last couple of years getting that group back to playing finals footy. And in terms of the future, at the moment, really enjoying my time at Sturt and loving being able to, be in the sample system. It's pretty flexible. Work-life balance is really good. Get to spend a fair bit of time at home with kids and watch their sports and, don't have to travel, like the AFL system has at the moment, travelling interstate. So there are some real benefits in it. But I guess, you never say never in the future, but at the moment really excited about, Sturt and the journey that we're going down and the path that we're trying to create over the next few years.
Marty, you've had some experience or extensive experience in the run into grand finals throughout your career as a player and a coach. What are some of the differences that it might look like and feel like between being a player and a coach?
Yeah, well, the biggest difference I've sort of noticed as a coach is just trying to create an atmosphere where it's pretty similar to a normal week. Don't try and change too many things. But also too, we talk a lot about, embrace the week and enjoy it. Like there are a lot of things that are different. I've done a fair bit of media this week and some of the other players have done a fair bit of media. And like I said, we had a lot of people at training last night and Adelaide Oval trainings and then today as well. So we always talk about embrace those things, enjoy it, because you never know if you're going to be back here as well. That's the other thing we talk about is we've been given an opportunity. So make the most of it and embrace it and have fun and enjoy the week.
And Marty, going in underdogs tomorrow, how do you go about dismantling the Glenelg Footy Club and winning the game?
I think it's going to be really a battle in the midfield. I think Glenelg's forward line, they are the best forward line in the comp and they've scored pretty heavily. Their midfield's pretty good and pretty deep as well. So it's going to be a battle of that. I think if you can get the ball and get into your forwards, it's going to be a real, real good key for us. And yeah, if we can get in, give Burrows, Hone, McFadden and these guys a chance up forward, I think we're going to go a long way to winning the game.
Marty, you brought on a leading golf teaching pro in John Corbett, a man that I've known for a long, long time. Bit of a left field man to bring into your coaching setup for a Sample footy team. Run us through that process and what he's been able to bring to the table.
Yeah, I mean, Corbs has come along just through contacts, I guess, through people that we both know. Said he wanted to get involved in footy, and I didn't really know much about Corbs until I sort of got to know him, and actually he's been probably one of our best acquisitions in terms of coaching. He's worked with a lot of our forwards in terms of the goal kicking as well, but he does our bench coaching. He's been really calm on the bench. Yeah, it's been great working with him, and also every now and then get a free golf lesson, which is great as well.
Hey, happy days.
Always nice to sneak out. Well, Marty Matner, coach of the Sturt Footy Club, in the grand final tomorrow at Adelaide Oval, 3 p.m. bounce. Look forward to this game. Good luck, and hopefully you can hold up the cup at the end of the day.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Cal. Thanks for having me on.
Good on you, Marty.
Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Triple M's Rush Hour, dead... Rush... Oh, shit. That didn't happen. Triple M's Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockcliffe, Callum Ferguson and Tomo to wrap the show, guys.
Piney, it has been an absolute fill-up. Rocky, how good's the day been? We've had a huge show. We've had Tomo on earlier, who we know has been out, obviously having his first child, River. What a great name. I love that. But it was great to talk to him earlier. And we got both the Sample coaches on too.
Yeah, massive helping of Dead Set Legends this morning. So really looking forward to this weekend as well, Fergus. Big game of footy this afternoon. So hang around for that. We've got the Saturday rub up next and then a massive preview building up to the Brisbane Lions taking on the Carlton Footy Club at the Gabba here. All that on Triple M. And then tomorrow, this is where we are at, Ferg. The Sample Grand Final,
yes.
Live on Triple M from 2 o'clock. That starts half an hour preview into the first bounce at 2:30. We had a bit of fun with the Juice Newton before, didn't we? So you can hear all the show there on the listener app.
I can't believe they've gone back to him. I can't believe they've gone back to Juice Newton Jarman. Jarman is calling a game of football again.
Either can I. It's quite incredible there, Fergus. And make sure you tune in Monday morning. Tomo and Loz back on the airwaves as well. But we just wanted to wish our man, Andrew Jarman, all the best. Good luck tomorrow.
Go well, Jars.
Jars, it's Eddie Maguire here, mate. I've been trying to get you to call for 25 years now because I heard that first call and we really wanted to get you back into the action again. We thought it was perfect for Funniest Home Videos, but I hear actually it's going to do a serious call. Mate, you will be fantastic. You're one of the greatest showmen ever to pull on a pair of boots. So, mate, I can't wait for the Sandfall Grand Final for the mighty Andrew Jarman calling the action.
Dennis Cometti here. Now, Jars, comebacks are the most dangerous things in sport. You would know that. I admire you for trying, but clearly the concussions are taking their toll. During the week, I contacted Sample headquarters, and they were kind enough to send me a tape. Seems to me you made the right choice some time ago.
This is BT.
The Jars tapes. Me. Can you believe all the mistakes in amongst that? It is unbelievable. Darren, mate, you got... Is this for Darren or Andrew? Oh, it's Andrew. Oh, Jars. Sorry, mate. I thought we were talking about the good one. Mate, you have been an absolute sensational superstar. Geez, I thought it was Darren. I thought this was for Darren. We're not recording now, are we?
Hi, this is Dis.
Jars, I am so excited and happy to hear that you are calling the SNFL Grand Final this weekend. You're an entertainer, so please get out, entertain us this Sunday, and I know you will. My one lasting piece of advice is every good commentator should never, ever stoop so low as to rubbish the umpires.
You absolute rabbit! You idiot! The same umpire! You are wrong, wrong, wrong!
Jars, it's KG. Congratulations on getting the Sample Grand Final gig. I was in the box for the bloodbath in 1991. Shortly after my 70th birthday. Do your homework so you don't, or you don't embarrass yourself by getting people's names wrong. Lucky Gator is there with you. Give him Easiest $150 I've ever made.
James Brayshaw and Billy Brownless here. All right, Jars, I know you're getting back on the horse. I know you're doing ball-by-ball commentary of the Sandfall Granny. And I just want you to back yourself. You got off to a rough start. You got the arse after one game. Mm. And you've been 20-odd years out of it. But I think you're good enough to come back in and right a wrong, a historical wrong, by absolutely tearing this game to shreds.
Well, I think you're wrong. I don't think he's got a chance after listening to him. Plus, the horse wanna be a strong horse. He's getting back on. Good luck, Andrew.
I'm Rex Hunt. So Andrew Jarman was going to broadcast, I tell you what. And he'll do very, very well because he'll entertain, he'll be accurate, and he'll give people fun, something that is a past bloody view in Australia. But, Jars, you want a serious opinion from me? An opinion is neither right nor wrong. If you were calling for a living, you'd be sleeping under a f***ing tree.
Wow.